This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. If you're looking for something a little less conventional for your Valentine, take a listen to some love songs from India and Pakistan. The music known as ghazal has roots in Persian poetry dating back to the 12th century. These days, artists like Najma Akhtar are blending the traditional with the modern, and that has caught the attention of world music connoisseurs, including Studio 360's Rob Weisberg.
I instantly fell for ghazal when I heard Najma. This record, Karib, became a world music sensation when it was released in 1987. Ghazal is actually a type of poem. It can just be recited, like they do at gatherings called mushaira, a tradition practiced in India, Pakistan, and places with South Asian emigre populations, including North America. But ghazals can be approached in many different ways musically. This is a ghazal styled according to Bollywood music conventions in an Indian film soundtrack. And here's one sung by the late great Pakistani singer Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan with his Qawwali ensemble. Jagjit Singh, along with his wife Chitra Singh, were very influential in the 70s and 80s. They turned the ghazal into pop music. What makes these all ghazals? The basic structural ground rules are pretty clear. Kiran Ahluwalia, a ghazal singer from Toronto, explains.
The poetry is a series of couplets, and the couplets are not narrative. It's not a poem in which you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a lyrical poem.
The couplets are actually standalone, tiny poems. A ghazal is a collection of these couplets. You can write a ghazal about almost anything, but
if you want to talk about its central classical content, the perspective that's taken is basically that of a suffering lover who's passionately in love with an unavailable beloved.
That's Fran Pritchett, a Columbia University professor who specializes in the poetry of ghazal.
And everything in the ghazal almost is a reflection of how the world looks to that person.
Ghazals are about the state of the mind of the lover.
Kiran Ahluwalia knows this well. She has to play the part.
And this poetry is written mostly from the first-person voice of a lover, and he's always either wooing the beloved or talking about the restlessness or the pain that he feels because he doesn't have access to this beloved. And the lover has basically left behind sanity and is willing to endure larger-than-life sacrifices for his beloved, and the beloved is always unattainable.
In ghazals, the lover, almost always male, gives up everything for his beloved but is doomed to failure. And we're pulled down with him because
even though there is a beloved, it's the lover and the pain of the lover that is the star of this show. That's the star of a ghazal, is the lover, the fact that he can't have a beloved and the pain that he's going through. And then this poetry is all about describing in wonderfully, wonderfully creative ways that pain and that angst and that restlessness of not being with your beloved.
Kiran deconstructs a couplet from one of the ghazals she sings, Sochka, to show how they function as discrete entities. The first line raises a question, the second provides a resolution.
One of the stanzas is saying, always keep cutting and pruning its branches. So that's just the first line. And right away you think, okay, well, which branches? Because before in the ghazal, we haven't heard of a tree or anything. So right away you're thinking, which branches? And the second question for me is, why should I always keep cutting and pruning? And it's the second sentence that resolves it. The second sentence is, otherwise, the tree of desires will again become thick. And so this is just a really beautiful way of depicting the pain and the angst of the lover. And in this couplet, it's basically saying, don't be an idealist, be a realist by pruning your desires.
Ambiguity, wordplay, and double meaning are all characteristics of ghazal. Fran Pritchett shares an example from Ghalib, one of the greatest ghazal poets, who lived in the late 1800s.
Neend uski hai, dimaag uska hai, raatein uski hai. Translation, sleep is his, power of mind or intelligence is his, the nights are his. Whose? We have no idea. We have to wait until we get to the second line. Teri zulfein, your curls, jiske bazu par, on the shoulder of whom, pareshan, scattered, ho gayi, became.
On the surface, this sounds pretty sexy, not so unrequited. But Pritchett says it's all in the meaning, the double meaning of the word pareshan. That's an Urdu word with a Persian root.
Pareshan in Persian literally means scattered or dispersed, so that your curls on the shoulder of whom dispersed became clearly means the lucky man with whom you're sleeping, on whose shoulder your curls are all lying tangled and disarrayed. But pareshan in Urdu is almost always used sort of metaphorically by extension to mean anxious or distressed or in a state of worry and concern. So we realize that the whole first line has been giving us a perfect picture of the lover's pareshani. He's been completely pareshan, distressed, because her curls are pareshan, scattered on somebody else's shoulder.
A ghazal singer never wins. Now, as if the ghazal's romantic hopelessness wasn't sad enough, Kiran Ahluwalia has been experimenting with another form of music, the Portuguese song style called fado. For her new CD, Wanderlust, Kiran recorded three ghazals in Lisbon with fado guitarists.
When you are describing fado or ghazal, in the first three lines, you'll hear the words longing and yearning.
Misery, I suppose, loves company. For Studio 360, I'm Rob Weisberg.
You can hear another track from Kiran Ahluwalia at studio360.org.